Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to the Tracy Sandler Show on Believe, brought to you by FIVO. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and we are in for a treat on today's episode as I am joined by Atlanta Falcons features reporter Chris Rimm to preview the upcoming Atlanta Falcons San Francisco 49ers matchup. Between score predictions, X factors, and why this isn't 2019, we talk all things 49ers Falcons. So without further ado, Chris, welcome to the show.
Yeah, happy to be here. Tracy, thanks for having me on. It's great to be on.
Absolutely. It's fun to talk a little football, preview the game. And I always like previewing it with people like someone from the other side. And you're so entrenched in that team. I'm very entrenched in this team. So, you know, be fun to talk about. So the Falcons, as I said, are coming off a win. They have won six games. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't believe they have beat any team with a winning record. But with the way the NFL is this season in terms of the seventh playoff spot and just really the parity in the league right now, the playoffs are like up for grabs, especially in those last two spots. So what have you seen from this team in the last few weeks and what gives you confidence going into Sunday?
Yeah, well, I think the Falcons should be confident in the way that they're trending on both sides of the ball. They're finding ways to win in different ways than they have before. So the Falcons in the past few years, ever since really since they had Devontae Freeman, they've struggled to run the ball. And Arthur Smith came in from Tennessee and Derrick Henry led offense that we know how much they run the ball. Uh-huh. And the first game, the Falcons kind of started off with a bang, rushing for like, I think, more than their season average in the first quarter against the Eagles. And then it kind of went down from there. They became more passing and really didn't see much production from the run game. But in the past 5 weeks, the Falcons have eclipsed 100 yards in four of their five games. So they've leaned heavily on CP and Mike Davis and even Quadri Allison now. So I think the run game and what they've emphasized in the past couple of weeks, CP Cordell has said, you know, our goal is to run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. That's what he says. So that's I think what the Falcons want to do. That's kind of become their identity these last few games is running the ball. And then that's opened up plays for Russell Gage and Kyle Pitts to get open. And on the defensive end, they've scored points in the last two games. Marlon Davison got a pick six on Tom Brady, and Michael Walker got a pick six on Cam Newton last week. And then Grady Jarrett recovered a fumble. So the defense, I think, is turning a corner, and the offense is figuring out what they're leaning on and kind of their identity. I know that's kind of a cliche, but yeah, I think they're finding out, you know, and I think they have multiple ways to win, but we've been seeing them do it on the ground recently. So I think that should give the Falcons confidence into this game. That their offense and defense is, I think, trending in the right direction, the best they've looked all year.
Well, and that's interesting. So in 2019, a lot has been made about the fact in 2019, the Falcons came to Santa Clara. It was a week 15 game. It was a game the 49ers definitely should have won. It was a game that they lost. Somewhat different circumstances. They were coming off like two very tough road games, et cetera. But, you know, one of the things that the Falcons are not one of the things, really the thing the Falcons did in that game was just dominate the passing game. And it was the Julio Jones game. And he was essentially unstoppable. So interesting to see, you know, 2 years later that, of course, it's the run game now that is really going to get them going. And, of course, this is a team that Kyle Shanahan is very familiar with. Yep. for obvious reasons. So, you know, that should keep it interesting. From the San Francisco side, they're dealing with a number of injuries, including Elijah Mitchell, running back Elijah Mitchell. So it remains at the moment to be seen if he will play. Jeff Wilson had a good game on Sunday, but it was very much the passing game. You and Jimmy Garoppolo had to lead not one, but two game-winning drives because he led one and then there was a missed field goal at the end. So, you know, back to the drawing board and he was able to do it. So, you know, from San Francisco's part, that's a big deal. Debo Samuel is looking good and ready to go. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk is coming into his own. George Kittle dealing with knee soreness on Wednesday. We're recording this on Thursday, so we'll see. But I would, of course, be surprised if he did not play on Sunday. I mean, that's the thing with Kittle. He really has to be able to not be able to play for him to not play. But that's important for San Francisco. On the defensive side of the ball, San Francisco is dealing with a lot of injuries as well. Dre Greenlaw did not practice. Azeez Al-Shaair is dealing with an elbow injury. Fred Warner didn't practice on Wednesday. He should, I think, be fine for Sunday, and we'll see. But, you know, they've had a lot of issues in their secondary. This may not be the bad time for the Falcons to get that passing game going because 49ers lost their number one corner a couple weeks ago, Emmanuel Mosley, to a high ankle sprain. And then Dante Johnson was unable to play on Sunday due to a personal matter. His mom had passed away, and so it was the rookie Ambry Thomas starting at corner. And he had a very up and down game, probably a little more down than up. I think Dante Johnson will be back with the team this week. Kyle Shanahan had said he expected him back on Thursday. So we'll see how that plays out over the next few days. But they've got a lot of issues there. But they do have Nick Bosa, and that changes everything. They do have DJ Jones. And so it's going to be interesting, I think. I think San Francisco at the moment is favored by 8 points. Is that correct?
Yeah, eight
and a half points. It's going to be a close game. I actually think it is going to be a close game. And kind of going back to what I said at the beginning, this is a game that really both teams need to win. And the difference, I think, also with 2019 is San Francisco was in a really good spot at that point. You know, it was probably a letdown game at that point. This year, San Francisco doesn't get to have a letdown game. There is no such thing as a letdown game when you're 7-6 and fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think what's interesting about that too is that in that game that you mentioned, like, it was a letdown game, but now for the Falcons and the 49ers, they're both in win now mode. Last week, everyone, you know, typically sometimes players and coaches don't embrace that, you know, we need to win this game or this is a big time game. Everyone from coaches from top down is uniform in saying that we are embracing that, you know, we don't control our own destiny, but we can do some things if we win out. If we win out, that's all we can do. So what they're saying is each week we need to make sure we win our game. And like you said, this is not before the 49ers may have taken their foot off the gas a little bit and thought that might be a layup for them using a basketball reference. But this time,
we can cross-reference sports. It's totally fine.
and this time they're not. And you have a guy in Kyle Shanahan who was familiar, not with the offense, but familiar with Matt Ryan at least. And he Matt, I don't know if you saw this, but Matt actually said yesterday that Kyle texted him Tuesday night, and he was watching film from the Panthers game, and he was making a joke with Matt about how he dropped a pass came Matt's way that was overthrown, and Matt completely dropped it, and he said he watched film and he texted him about it.
That's funny.
Yeah. And I think the 49ers offense too is, well, it's not a, it's definitely not a mirror image of the Falcons offense by any means, but there's a really great tight end. Falcons have Kyle Pitts, and then you have, you know, Falcons have their CP, and you guys have Debo. And that's been a lot of the talk here is about how they're similar players, and also about how the 49ers offense is how the Shanahan uses motions and how he attacks schemes and adjusts in games. We just got out of a DMP's, defensive coordinator DMP's press conference, and that's what he was mentioning. He said how he respects how Shanahan can adapt kind of on the fly. He'll motion anyone. He started listing off everyone's number, and he said, he said
anyone and everyone.
So they're sending guys every play, so you have to be aware of it, and he will adjust his game plan based off of how you play. So I think that this matchup will be exciting. Like you said, I think it'll be a close game because both teams are, I guess, desperate for a win, if that's, for lack of a better word.
And you brought up, you know, the Falcons creating turnovers these last few weeks, which is something San Francisco had struggled to do for a chunk of the season. In the last several weeks, they've been winning the turnover game. What they did not do last week was commit a turnover, which, of course, is a very big deal. I'm just wondering, when you look at this game, when you look at this Falcons team, obviously you're going to know it better than me or any of us listening. What is, or who is, the one player that surprised you a little bit that you think is going to make an impact on Sunday?
That surprised this season or that?
It could be let's go with this season. Let's go with this season.
Well, I think I think AJ Terrell has surprised the league this season in the way he's played. I think he's been one of the best cornerbacks in the league, if not the best. I think he's in that conversation of one of the best cornerbacks in the league. And I think, he got an interception last week. So I think if I had to bet money on someone making a play, I would bet on AJ. And he's been really good in coverage and whatever P's asked him to do. It seems like AJ has done it and excelled. And he's someone who was whose pick was criticized a lot when he was taken last year because of his performance in the national championship game. And he's played with that chip on his shoulder. So he's someone who surprised me. So I could see him making a play, but maybe to not pick an obvious one, but last week, Michael Walker got a pick six, and it was the birth of his child, and he did like a rock the baby celebration like five days after. So I guess it would be to see what we've seen the last 2 weeks is players who aren't the Grady Jarretts or the AJ Terrells have been making plays, game changing plays. So there's Michael Walker, AJ Terrell, and then I would look out for Jalen Hawkins, who's getting a start with Eric Harris out. Hawkins has two picks this year, and because he played in London and against Miami, he got picks in both those games. So he's seen limited time, and in that time, he's made big plays. So I would say those three, and I completely messed up the question, but those three, I would say Jalen Hawkins, Walker, and Terrell.
Well, and I think for 49ers fans, and something I want to talk a little bit about with San Francisco is special teams, because their last 2 weeks have been really the plus and the minus is high and low as you could be. You know, two games ago against Seattle, it was kind of a special teams disaster. And the week before that against the Vikings, they also definitely had some issues. This past week was against Cincinnati. They had a banner day, minus the Robbie Gould missed field goal, which is a big deal, of course. But that aside, they really had a fantastic day. And it just kind of, I think, has driven home how important special teams is. I think we all talk so much about offense and defense and quarterbacks and the passing game and all of the things, but special teams makes a huge difference. So I think for San Francisco, that's the place where they're going to have to, you know, continue to excel and potentially make some plays there. The person who I think makes a big impact in San Francisco, and it's someone that I talked about last week too, but he's just become such a big part of this offense, is Juwan Jennings. And he's wide receiver. And he's just, if there's a big play, I talked about this on an episode earlier this week with Matt Barrows, and Matt said it, and he's 100% right. When there is a big play on offense, he is a part of it, whether it be in the blocking game, whether he's catching a big pass. And I think he's, you know, I say he's one to watch out for, but I think it's starting to become very obvious that he is one to watch out for. I think the other thing that'll be interesting to watch with that San Francisco offense is Debo, because last week it was one reception, you know, and then mainly on the ground. So, you know, we like to joke that he's the wide receiver running back one. And that is kind of, you know, what we'll see. And can they not turn the ball over? That is a real issue for San Francisco. And when you look at the games that they've lost and the issues that they've had, they've been turning the ball over. So can they avoid that?
What'd you say?
I said that's the key. Not that that's groundbreaking analysis, but that for them, I mean, no, that really is the key.
Yeah, for sure. And especially with this defense is one who is the two turnovers last week, and then I think two turnovers the week before that. So that'll definitely be, you know, I'm not sure of the term, but it's something's got to give. That's the phrase I'm looking for.
Yes, something's got to give.
Because this defense has been kind of turnover hungry ever since because a few weeks ago, the defense was kind of embarrassed against Dallas when Dallas scored 43 points, 29 in the second quarter. And ever since then, they've really turned a corner and been playing their best ball. And they've mentioned that after that game, players like Steven Means and even Dean Pease really got after the defense. And I think they've taken pride in what they can do as a group. So this weekend will be a test for them against, like you said, a team, one of the better teams they faced this year, and not only better teams, but better offenses who's also getting healthier and playing, you know, some of their best.
Well, and it's funny with San Francisco because in theory and on paper, they feel very much like the better team.
Yep.
But I kind of feel like San Francisco at the moment is like the best of the mediocre teams. Like, and that's kind of a, that's, and I, please don't get mad at me for it, I understand, but I do think it's true. And I think their record shows that, and their inconsistency has shown that when they're on, they are on, but when they're not, they're very much not. And it feels like they're the best of the mediocre teams, which may just be the NFL this season. I do think you have one or two really, well, I guess in the NFC, you can look at Green Bay, Arizona, even though they're coming off a tough loss, Tampa, and Dallas as like your elite teams. But even there, it feels very up for grabs this year. There just seems to be a lot of parity. So with San Francisco, sometimes I watch this team and like, they're like kind of the king of the mediocres. Like they're really, they're just a cut above, but they should be so much better. And you just haven't quite gotten there yet, you know, for a variety of reasons. So I think that makes for an interesting game. So going back to your idea that something's got to give, that's what it's going to come down to. And it's like, which 49ers show up? And I think that's going to be the key to this game on Sunday. No offense, 49ers fans, don't get mad at me.
I think also with what you're saying too, something I guess positive for the Falcons is the Falcons haven't won a game at home this season.
San Francisco had that problem for a long time this season.
So they won a home game, but it was in London. So they've been great on the road this year. So that's something they have going for them, and that's a positive, I guess, in their direction.
So with San Francisco, I'm going to look ahead a little bit. They have Atlanta, they have Tennessee, they have the Texans, they have the Rams. I think in theory, all winnable games, especially if they want to hold on to that sixth seed and maybe even jump to the fifth, though I think that's going to be a little bit of a tough go. But there's a lot happening in the league right now, so you never know. What do the next few weeks look like for Atlanta beyond San Francisco?
Yeah, well, they go to Atlanta goes to Detroit, and then they see the Saints twice. Oof. And
did you see the Saints twice in the last?
Or sorry, they don't see the Saints. I said the Saints twice. They see the Saints and then they see the Bills.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, they did that. I'm like, you scheduled that. That's so weird. But you know what's funny with the Saints? I go, oof. But really, the Saints are not, they're really not oof this year.
Yeah, the Saints, because I think they're still marred by injury. And then their quarterback play. But when the Falcons played the Saints last time, they were, which has kind of been a theme of the team this year in terms of consistency, like playing four quarters of good football. Oftentimes they've been in these games where they'll go up like, you know, maybe two scores early in the game or in the first quarter, second quarter, and then Matt Ryan has to lead a game-winning drive. And that's what happened in New Orleans last time they played. And, you know, the Falcons-Saints rivalry is strong down here, so that was good for that. But yeah, looking forward, they have the Niners this Sunday, then the Lions, then the Bills and the Saints, all teams who are the only team out of that group that's over 500 are the Niners and the Bills. So they could, you know, win two games and finish this season, you know, there's a possibility the Falcons could finish this season with 8 wins and not have beaten a team over 500. So
that's kind of amazing. Actually.
Yeah.
that really says a lot. I think something else that's kind of just stood out to me in our conversation is, and it feels kind of simple, but this is the reality of football. Both of us talking about how both teams having trouble necessarily playing four quarters of football, both teams having issues with turnovers and winning the turnover game, and both teams having trouble with consistency. And it does sound sort of simple, but at the end of the day, that's what wins football games. You can scheme, you can adjust, you can do all the things, but those are the most important things to win football games. And Sunday will come down to that. Which of these two teams can really play four quarters of complete football, you know, not turn the ball over, and all the things. And for San Francisco, there was quite an extensive Wednesday injury report. So that's going to be a big part of it as well. But we are in week 15. And so everybody is dealing with injuries. Granted, 49ers on Wednesday was quite extensive, but everybody is dealing with stuff, much of the league dealing with COVID issues. I think 49ers, as of now, have not been dealing with that. I think the Falcons have also been kind of spared of that at the moment.
Am I correct on that?
Okay.
Yes.
I'm like, do you have news? I think that's, that's a big positive, but everybody's dealing with stuff, at this point. But the COVID thing is also a whole other wrinkle in these final few weeks for all of these teams. The league is definitely having an issue, which again, kind of makes sense. You have a post-Thanksgiving surge, you're into week 15, but that is a whole wrinkle that before last year, teams did not have to worry about at all.
Yeah, it's a tough wrinkle for these past 2 years for these teams in terms of you're in the thick of a playoff push and you can lose multiple starters because a physical injury, but because of a virus that you can't see, something that you can do everything to protect yourself from, but with the Omicron variant and things trending upward, and then holiday season, things just happen. And it's unavoidable and it's tough. It's a thing never before. There might have to be, when they write the history books of the NFL, they need to put, something between this time period to say, this was done, during a pandemic. So I think it's tough for all these teams. It's something that obviously no NFL history hasn't happened.
So I'm going to make you do my least favorite thing. I think we both kind of talked about our X factors, the difference makers. This is my least favorite thing to do, but I'm going to make you do it. I'll do it too. So we're going to do this together. Well, you haven't heard what it is yet. I'm going to make you give a score prediction because I think you've talked about your X factors. I think you had your kind of who you think we're going to, who you think will be the big things, the big people who will make the plays. I also think I think Josh Norman will probably force a fumble because it's like really the thing that he does best. By far. So he'll probably force a fumble somewhere along the way, but I'm going to make you do a score prediction. It's my least favorite thing to do myself because I'm terrible at it. But actually last week, I will say this, I picked Cincinnati to win 27-24. So I was at least right about the 3 points.
Yeah.
But the 49ers won 26-23, but nonetheless. Yeah. So would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. I am going to pick San Francisco to win this game 28-17.
Okay.
I really threw that out of nowhere.
I think I'll go Falcons 27-21.
Okay. See, it's not that fun doing a score prediction. And I'm awful at it. I mean, I really am I don't know why I continue to do them. I'm terrible at it. But that being said, I'm going with my, 28-17. So yeah, remember my score.
I think 28-17,
All right, so there we go. Chris, thank you for joining me. This was a lot of fun.
No problem. I had a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely, and may the odds be ever in our favors.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Actually, before I go, I forgot one of the most important things. I need you guys to please leave us a 5-star review. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Fangirl Sports Network. If you just happened upon this podcast and are not a subscriber, please go ahead and subscribe. Absolutely appreciate it. And with that, I will talk to everybody later. Bye all.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.